and other indigenous leaders and shamans and rural community leaders like Luis Llanza and other Ecuadorian lawyers who won a resounding victory in court. This case really isn't about me. Chevron has tried to make a caricature out of this case by focusing on me, and it's important to focus on the people who are really, really suffering
we
and
only
continue to suffer down in Ecuador.
We only have 10 seconds, but so there was a judgment reduced to $9 billion. What happens now?
The Ecuadorians, with their lawyers, will continue to try to enforce the judgment and against Chevron's assets and force the company to comply with the law. We've held them accountable. We won the judgment. We will continue to hold them accountable, forcing them to actually pay the judgment. So this case is viable and still going on.
And you
on.
Remain under house arrest after 600
yes.
days. Steve Donziger, I want to thank you for being with us, human rights lawyer who successfully sued Chevron in Ecuador, waiting to hear if he will be freed after nearly 600 days of house arrest. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe. Wear a mask.
Listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 8 a.m.
Now what we're going through is trying for a brighter day. And all this confusion too, we're clearing for a better way. Today we seem perplexed in search of some direction. I'm astounded and I'm vexed. From dumbing we need protection. This can't be puzzled. I'm gonna figure it out.
Good morning. You are listening to your community connection. KBOO Portland. 90.7 here in the city, that be Portland, 91.9 in White Seven, Hood River, Oregon, and in Point South in the Willamette River Valley, like Philomath, Oregon, it is 104.3. Everywhere else, KBOO comes in strong at KBOO.FM. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Cecil. Oh, no, don't tell me technology did me wrong. I am not hearing him, which means I might have to redial. Oh, the curses and change, the paradigmatic shift of COVID-19.
We'll be right back.
right. Are we back on the air?
You're on.
Okay. There are some things I'm sure people are enjoying about COVID.
Indeed.
This paradigmatic shift, but I have to say some of the technological difficulties leave me wanting, wanting more and wanting a little different form of stability, you know? There are
some. I understand.
But other than that, good morning, everyone, and welcome to this brave new world. This is More Talk Radio. I am Celeste. I'm here with my cohort in conversation here on KBOO, Cecil. And we hope you're doing well. Today is, well, I won't say it's the first day, but it is a day both reconciling and commemorating or memorializing quite a few issues. One of them being the fact that Breonna Taylor has been gone for a year and a day, and we are still struggling to grasp the enormity of that situation. George Floyd has been, I can't say he's been memorialized, but his family has received one of those ironic memorializations in that his death has caused one of the biggest settlements, if not the biggest settlement, for death at the hands of police that this country has known. And that's ironic in that there is no amount of money that can pay for a person lost early and lost wrongfully. And let's see, today is the 364th day since the station has been closed. But yeah, I know, closed for regular broadcasted shows, and so pretty much the only folks going on we have reduced amounts of staff that can go in and out per the governor's rule change, and our illustrious board operators that come in. So a big ups to Ty and Sonia for coming in and holding down the fort, you know. But, indeed, you know, there are other things that are going on in the midst of this shift. And one of those is the fact that it has caused us to rely on technology even more than before. And you've heard me say this many times, dear and gentle listeners, that this is not the singularity, but it is a singularity for our species, the human race, the human family, and that we will never return to what was called normal before. It is impossible, you know. And so that one incident has caused a profound change. And out of that change has become, I mean, out of that change has manifested a stronger reliance on technology than ever before. Every country that has the capacity is on the internet every day, and more likely than not at the same time, you know, because the world, since we're not out interacting physically, is interacting on the internet pretty much 24/7. And so there's been some changes that have come about, and I thought we'd talk a little bit about that today, about one big shift that seems to have happened that people are not, they're not accepting very easily. But before we get into that, I wanted to thank everybody who persevered and tried to get through last week when we were doing our show, and that we did everything we could to make the connection, but the connection couldn't be made. And one of the things that I found really interesting about this is how analogous our situation was to that whole idea of women being equal partners in this thing called life, because it seemed no matter how hard we tried, we couldn't be heard and we couldn't get connected, and everything was out of sync. And I was telling Cecil, is that not unlike the way it is for women and our connections in this world? But I also wanted to, like I said, thank those who persevered, because I know that we had a couple of callers that called in and felt frustrated that they couldn't be heard, even though they were speaking. And then also the fact that because of the way the conversation kind of got chopped off, there was a caller who wanted to correct me, like Cecil did, about Mother's Day, when I mentioned that it had been co-opted by and become commercialized. And the truth is that it had similar roots to International Women's Day, and that it didn't begin as a commercial venture, but it sure did turn into one. Anyway, enough of all of that, because that's last week, and we will bring that back, that conversation back about the connections that women offer, and we'll have that conversation another day. But today what we're going to talk about is another phenomenon that seems to have raised its head since we are dealing with COVID and the COVID situation. And that is this concept of electronic shifting and leaving people behind because maybe they can't or won't or don't have the opportunity to participate. So I came across this idea and I found it fascinating. There were complaints that some industries are becoming technology bullies. What the deuce you say, Celeste? Technology bullies? Well, you know, just like the way of the Cooper Smith and Beryl Wright, you know, some technologies have, well, they faded into obscurity and obsolescence. And some people mourn that, and they think that maybe we should keep things as they used to be, that it shouldn't be that these things disappear and people lose their job. But the truth be, things change. Technology changes. And we should be okay with the fact that sometimes things move a little faster than we want them to, because it's the growth of the species, the growth of technology, it's the growth of our interactions with each other. Just like we now have cell phones and coin phones have pretty much, you know, evaporated, or right now we do email and snail mail is not as popular as it used to be. And yes, maybe there are people who, for various reasons, like I said, don't participate or can't participate, you know, but does it make it a bully if the vast amount of people move forward and some people bemoan the fact that they're not? An example would be how many people like to tap their piece of plastic, their debit card, their whatever payment form, card, on a machine with their purchase and keep it pushing. You know, how many people get frustrated when they can't pay with money and they just want to pay with money because it's convenient for them, and a vendor says, nope, sorry, we don't take cash? Or how many people are really frustrated when they dash into the nearby convenience store and then try to whip out a wallet to pay for it, and turns out that that's one of those newfangled stores that reads everything in your wallet, in your pocket, and deems you, you know, an unprofitable prospect because you don't have that Apple card or that piece of technology on your person, so you can't even you can't even buy anything in the store. You know, in the very store might be surprised that you made it in because you don't have the proper, you know, IR signal. And so, you know, what do you do? What do you do? Do you throw a tantrum and say, nope, this is bullying, I'm not going to participate? Or do you jump right in? Now, I know some people are going to call in and say, I don't have email. I don't have a cell phone. Okay, then this conversation might not be for you, you know, in that respect. But, here's what I am wondering. How do you cope? You know, do you say, I just don't trade with these businesses? I stick to the old-fashioned way as much as possible? Or have you been swept along in that river, in that direction, and you feel kind of like the rest of us are a bunch of lemmings and you're looking for your exit, you know? You're singing Stop That World and Let Me Off. And I'm really curious as to how people do this, because I'm hearing more and more complaints about this form of technology bullying and the fact that folks feel that their right to participate in life at their own speed is being co-opted and diminished. And so I'm curious to, you know, what's going on with people, how they feel, what they think about this. And, you know, Cecil and I have a few more conversations in the hopper with people to talk. Got them stored up and ready for you. The phone number is 503-231-8187.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio with Celeste, and my name is Cecil. And one thing that, as Celeste mentioned, the paradigmatic changes in our society is emblematic of a phenomenon that was first, well, maybe not first, but examined by Thomas Kuhn in his Shiftmaking, strangely, to put it, book of 1962, The Structure of Scientific Revolution, where he talks about how every once in a while there's a paradigmatic shift in the way we understand the world, in the way we interact with the world. And those shifts are challenging and discouraging to some, but also manifest a way of a new way of learning and interacting with one another. So let's see what people have to say. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And, you know, COVID has brought about some shifts in the way we interact with one another. And Celeste, you began by talking about the radio station in terms of how the radio station had to make shifts. In addition to limiting the number of people who are able to physically enter the radio station, what are some other ways in which broadcasting has changed over the last year, Celeste?
We have a caller.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I'm going to cheat and defer to the caller first and then answer that, because that's a deeper conversation altogether. But, yeah, we'll get to that right after we hear from our caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Celeste and Cecil. My name's Kelly. I'm glad you're talking about this, because I think about this all the time. How am I supposed to spend, you know, my earnings, and what jobs should we really be getting that are going to be around? So, yeah, I waited till the last minute to actually get reliable internet, almost reliable, last March. And I appreciated watching you all at KBOO figuring out what to do, and you kept going. I'm like, I can keep going if you guys are going to keep going. It just, it's too expensive to keep up with all the different technology. And now we do have to work from home, even if we want to be considered for some new jobs, I guess. So PCC has been so helpful. I can't believe they're really technology department. I can use I'm getting tuition reimbursement from my work, which is weird, but it's this little job out at the airport handling next day packages. Now we have vaccines coming through, and it's only a few hours a day, and I feel like I won the lottery for jobs. It doesn't pay all my bills. I don't know how I'm going to pay rent, but, like, you know, so I appreciate you thinking the process through. There's so many parts to it, even paying in the stores. What do we do? There's one food delivery app. I can't even use it barely anymore because it's taking so much metadata, it runs the battery out. So I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not going to deliver food anymore. I can't keep getting a new phone every time they want to, you know, extract more energy from my phone. So I won't quit it totally, but I'll use it sparingly. I can't rely on that. It's almost like gambling, it feels like, sometimes picking what we should use for tools. So thank you. It's a lot,
well,
right?
You. That is a lot. You know, and you brought up something really valid. I dropped my phone and I had to use my spare, and that was the same model, but for some reason it had a different processor or something. It had some different processes in it. And my bank kept telling me that this phone and its operating system were going to be rendered obsolete here in a few months. And right. We can't really recognize this phone, which means you won't be able to do banking. Now, I don't know about a lot of you, but, you know, a lot of people try to do their banking online, and they try to limit it to their phone because the phone's security can be a little better. It scrambles the encrypts better. I don't know how we're going to do it if we can't keep up, like you said, Kelly, because I haven't bought a new phone in a while, and I don't know why I have to.
Right. And I rely on, like, going into a store. I know it's cheaper sometimes to go online to find a phone, but I need a real person when I'm, you know, trying to do the banking or whatever, and it's not working. You know, there's a place on MLK where I can go, and there's smart, fast people that can, you know, give me options. What I got, I can bring them the question. They say, here's what you can do, and I'm like, thank you for being a real person, you know, to help us with technology.
Well, see, and that's one of the answers right there. The whole point of technology was supposed to help us stay connected better. So, you know, when you talk about what kind of jobs is there going to be in the future, there's always going to be the niche of people who don't want to or can't participate in this technological push. But there'll always be an industry that grows up to meet those other needs, because people will figure out, well, I can't work this modern job, but I bet I can do this because it's low tech and it connects with people. And so
here's the other part of it for me.
Figure that out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the last part of it was I have low vision challenges, and I never knew it. I didn't do well in office situations. Towards the end, it was before I got glasses that worked. I have double vision, and I just needed little prism glasses. But I couldn't do those jobs that paid maybe more than enough to pay rent, you know. And so I'm always doing, like, the car washing job or the driver job or the handling packages job. And at some point, you know, I'm like one of those older football players out there. They still do it. So, yeah, we have to keep trying to wrap our minds around the different opportunities that the challenges bring us for the day. That's what I say. And PCC and other places, even 211 Info, I keep calling them, and I'm like, it's me again. Do you have any answers? And they're like, no, here's all our answers. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I never thought I'd be calling 211 Info once a month or once a week. So I think they might have some help in the future, but not right now, for how we can come up with ideas, how to get our technology that's good for us, you know. So I'm hopeful, but it's a long road, and I'm glad you keep bringing up the subjects. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your call. And, you know, I want to add that there's nonprofits out there like Free Geek, and I think I can say that on the air since they're a nonprofit, that do help people bridge those digital divides. And so I would encourage people to look up their local nonprofit that works with technology and connectivity and stay close to them, either in person, low tech, telephone, email, any way you can, because unfortunately there are some avenues in which technology is pushing us unwillingly along.
And I think that not only unwillingly, but in a sense that it's just magnifying the economic and racial and social divide in our country. So therefore, those who are able have access to some of it that many people do not. And we see that manifested just in terms of the availability of education. Well, you know, who can sign up for vaccines? Are some examples of that. So it continues to unfold as we try to live out this new world we're living into.
Allison is on the line.
Good morning, Allison. You're on More Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Celeste. This is your friend, Allison. I find this very great conversation. I have deliberately thought about how I can control my life a little better in three specific areas, and that's around what I eat, how I shop, and how I'm entertained. Some things you can't control, but some things you can. I would also say how I pay bills. I've decided that since I'm retired now and I'm kind of a hybrid person with regard to how I use technology, so I made some decisions. And number one, that I want to control my finances as much as possible. So to the extent that I can, write a check and put it in the mail and control some of my larger expenses I do, like my house note. So some things I have on automatic pay, but very few, maybe just one-fourth of what I pay per month. This is costly, however, because I'm just realizing how much it costs to get checks and also to pay for postage. But it's a
right.
decision. This deliberate decision I've made to do this so I can have control over my finances a little better on a monthly basis. So around eating, I've decided that for my health, it's better that I make my own food and shop, trying to get the best ingredients that I can, so I do not participate in these delivery services. Shopping. I decided that I want to support local businesses, and so I shop locally. I do not have an Amazon card. I don't do that. What it has caused me is the inconvenience of trying to find toys for my grandchildren, but it's been a pleasure to kind of zone in on some things and then know where I can go and get them. Lastly, entertainment. I have internet. I try to get the cheapest one I can, which is doesn't matter what it is, but try to keep to the bare. I found out that there's more in this world to see and enjoy through the internet than I can find online or through some of these package programs. So when I want to see something on HBO, I go over to my son's house and watch it. So I think that that we can, by making some choices and putting forth a little bit of more effort and also maybe expanding a little more, we can have kind of an alliance with technology as opposed to being a lemon to a technology. And that's what I wanted to say today.
Thank you so much, Allison. I like that. Just discovering the alliance with technology rather than using it in a way. And your examples of how you use it, I think, are helpful, and being very strategic is something we should follow.
Okay. Indeed. And I appreciate the fact that you say you're a hybrid, because that's what it takes, you know, nowadays, is to really be kind of savvy and weigh it out. You know, just like Kelly said, she also was looking for ways to integrate things, but maintain that level of control that keeps all of us from feeling like we're just being swept along.
Yes. The other thing is to control money, our money, our cash flow out. These apps that you can instantaneously buy anything you want and get it delivered the next day is a real drain on the pocketbook. It's like me and chocolate chip cookies. You know, I just can't eat one, and I continue to go back. So therefore, I don't put myself in a position of having that kind of addiction around buying things online.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about the only way you can do that is do like you do. Just don't have the app.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm enjoying always enjoy your show, and keep it up. Keep up the good work. Take care.
Well, thank you. But yes, thanks for calling.
And you're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in Portland, in White Salmon, Washington, Hood River, Oregon. It is 91.9, 104.3 in Philomath, and on the web, kboo.fm.
As Allison was speaking, it occurred to me she mentioned, you know, about paying bills and not being sucked into these apps. And it occurs to me, you know, it's so much easier, or we think it's so much easier. So we, you know, on our phones, we just tap this and that, and then, you know, we discover we're spending money, as opposed to, you know, taking out a checkbook and writing it. It's almost as if it requires at least, you know, a moment of thought when you have to write a check or find cash and go into a store. And I think it's not by accident that it's made so easy that we spend our money without thinking.
Of course.
Edie's on the line.
You know, what we do is we find out ways to adjust, and sometimes it's deliberate in terms of pushback, conscious pushback. Sometimes it's deliberate because we like Allison said, you want to control how much goes out of you, how much of your substance goes out. I still carry cash, you know, but only a little bit, you know, and I just try to hold on to it. But I will use my card for other things. Well, I also get points for it, and I figure I'm going to use those points for other things I want. So, you know. But let's see what Edie has to say. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you so much for helping us consider what we want to do and why, with what morals or other criteria. And mine is always, how is this going to help those who otherwise would be disempowered or disabled or oppressed, and how can I act that's going to make the world the way I want it to be, that's consistent with the values I have? So since I care about mutual aid, compassion, and justice, I'm going to do what's better for the environment. I boycott Amazon. I boycott banks and credit cards. I try to make it possible for folks to have experience dealing at the cash register, someone having cash or check for those other people who need to have those being options. I avoid going to the self-serve checkout because I want to support workers having their jobs, keeping their jobs. I go to organic farming, and I promote public bank and public power and small, diversified, democratized energy and food security, growing hemp and bamboo in our roadway, you know, alongside our roadways, to clean up pollution and to be able to maybe manufacture our own protective face masks and equipment. I try to support horse farming versus petroleum. So I avoid getting addicted into the buying. But when I do buy, I try to make sure that I'm supporting the people, the values, and the earth. And that at the end of it, I'm not because of fear or inadequacy that I have to impress somebody or keep eating more, unless you want to donate me cheesecake. But the last thing I wanted to do is ask if our beloved Multnomah County Library System that has been so good at supporting democracy and public health and having people who give free tech advice, support, and information and access to the internet, are they available and open to folks now?
I haven't heard.
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Celeste.
No, go ahead. If you know, go ahead, because I haven't heard.
No, the libraries are not open. You can go to the library and sort of, if you have books to exchange or you have to go online to select a book, and they will come to the window and hand you the book. But I do not think they are open for the public.
I know that they do have people that you can call and get information if you do not have access to internet, that they can help you with the searches or that information. But I think that we can, you know, choose our technology. If we're concerned about our neighborhoods being the way we want it, then instead of hiring someone to come in with surveillance and guns and jails, we can talk and meet each other's needs and buy a Sharp container and help pull out the garbage and let our neighbors use our shower. I mean, there's things in which we can do high touch, low tech, or appropriate tech. And with that, I want to say thank you, and I'm off the air. And we really need to have radio. So everybody, you know, send in your money to KBOO too.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for that, Edie. And you know, I want to thank the fact that women have called into the show today. I miss hearing women's voices sometimes in radio. Thankfully we have pushed boundaries so that you hear our voices more often on the air. And I also want to echo what Edie said, is that if you really appreciate the connectivity that radio and specifically KBOO provides in your life, please support us. It's really easy. All you have to do, and I'm sorry if the tech part bothers you, but I have low tech as well. You can go online to kboo.fm/give and donate and support us. It is because of community members supporting us financially that we've been on the air for over 50 years, and we want to be on the air for 50 more plus years. Also, because this is Women's History Month, celebrate and wear your convictions with a women's t-shirt. You can find those at kboo.fm. And when you go to .fm, there'll be a splash page, or pop-up as some people call them, that will ask you, do you want to get an International Women's Day shirt? Please do. Or you can just go to kboo.fm/IWD, International Women's Day, and get a t-shirt. Yes.
So, Celeste, I'm wondering if those who are very low-tech and want to support the U.S. Postal Service, is there a way in which they may be able to write a paper check and send it to KBOO?
Well, this is perfect segue, because like I said, there's low-tech ways. Yes, our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And you can mail that. And in this age of COVID,
you know, we go, we pick up our mail once a week, maybe twice a week, let it accrue, and we still have there are technological advances that let you do backwards reading of tech. So in other words, if people don't pay electronically, we have the technology that's new but reads older tech like checks. And we welcome people sending in their checks. You know, in as much as it makes a difference to you to be able to control how you engage in life, checks are still valid. You know, checks still work. There is a certain amount of risk that they can be co-opted and stolen, but that, it's that way with everything. So don't let that deter you from figuring out ways to work better with your life and how you pay for things and how you engage. You know, just you have to do a little extra work, but it's worth it because it allows you to have that measure of control. It does. Here's something you can also control. You can control those fingers over to the telephone and dial 503-231-8187 and join in the conversation. You know, we want to welcome people to have a moment to connect with each other. Even though it's via the airwaves, it's still real time. It matters. And we're talking about how technology kind of forces us to move faster and further and in different ways than sometimes we want to, and how we adjust to that level of push, and how it's been, I guess I'll call it not necessarily enforced, but exacerbated by COVID. Yeah, that's what I'll call it.
Okay.
Well, you know, in a way, it's, you know, you use exacerbation when you're talking about how a not healthy situation has been further aggravated. And being cut off like this has not been a healthy situation, you know. And then technology kind of bullying you in one way or another, it makes it feel like the situation's been aggravated. So that's why I picked it, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, we welcome your calls again, 503-231-8187. And share with us how you're dealing with the paradigmatic shift that is saying, you know what, I'm so sorry, but we're not going to have horse-drawn carriages anymore. You have to take the self-driving Uber.
Right.
You know what?
and thinking about those shifts, not only in terms of how we use transportation or get to from one place to the other, I happened to be in downtown Portland last week, and it became very real to me just in terms of the absence of people, how we relate to our jobs, so that you know, the pre-pandemic, people got into their cars, drove downtown, went into office buildings, worked from 9 to lunchtime, went out and had lunch, came back and worked to the end of workday, used public transportation or their cars and returned home. Well, for many of those workers who are now working from home, I wonder what's going to happen. Will people return to working in offices? Will it be different? And how are those changes? What are the results of those type of changes in terms of social interaction? Not only talking about the economy, but also talking about how people relate to one another. Just a thought.
Well, I think, you know, our first caller, Kelly, was talking about how we even find a job. you know, if your skill set or if you have other challenges that make it difficult for you to participate in workforce, how are we going to find a job? Because some jobs are being retooled or retrofitted or just removed at an alarming rate. And so what if your job was one of those that no longer exists? You know, we need not to tell these people we'll just find another job. You know, what we need to do is have savvy people who are looking forward and finding out ways to create avenues for people to get training for new jobs or to help visualize and create new jobs. So, you know, in that article that you and I read the other day, it talked about how we need to take a meta view of the effects of the COVID shutdowns in at least certain industries and in certain areas so that we can create some kind of system to assess how it affects us everywhere, because we don't even know what we don't know yet.
That's true. Our numbers here this morning are 503-231-8187. We invite your calls and your insights about this shift in paradigm, this shift in society. And not only Thomas Kuhn mentioned this in his book in 1962, but others have reflected upon it. And one thinker, she has said that society, mega society, shifts every 500 years or so in terms of how we are. And so, you know, 500 years ago, there was that the great shifting in just in terms of European encounter with the so-called New World and the shift in philosophy and religion. A thousand years ago, there was a shift, the breakup of the Roman Empire, and so there's every 500 years or so, she says, there are mega shifts in our world, and perhaps we are living through a shift right now, not only caused by the pandemic, but also caused by related things such as technology, climate change, and others, which all these things are causing a shift in the way we are and the way we be.
We have a caller that didn't want to go on air, but wants to know how much to write the check for and what the KBOO t-shirt looks like.
Well, the t-shirt, how much to write the check for? Oh my goodness, you're going to give me that level of control? I'm going to. Well, you know, they say dream big. Now, don't be offended if I drop out this number. Just chuckle and say, yeah, okay, Celeste, I'm going to adjust it appropriately. But, you know, you could write a check out for, I don't know, $20,000. Because, well, that's the number that comes to mind. And I tell you what, we aggregate amounts together. Sometimes we get a big check and we use that as a matching donation. Sometimes we get smaller checks and we pull those together by permission from the donor to make a matching donation. So I, you know, you write the check. I gave you an amount. If that's not enough, multiply it by love, okay? Now, the women's t-shirt has women of four different nationalities or ethnicities sitting around a table with microphones, and they are speaking on the air. And I'm getting one. We have them in a cream color, and it's cut for unisex and women's figures. I'm getting one, and, you know, I told everybody when we see them, we have to sign each other's shirt. We don't have to, you know. But I'm getting one, and we're trying to get those 48 orders in. We need to get some more orders in. We get those 48 orders because this particular print shop that we're using needs to aggregate the amount. Don't ask me why. It's kind of like oh, what did we call it? Technological bullying. Well, you know, but that's just the way they work, and we're using them to get, you know, stuff that works for everybody. But yes, I like the shirt, and I think you will too. And thank you for calling and asking, caller. Appreciate that. It lets me know that we are hers, and that makes a big difference.
Nathaniel's on the line. Difference.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, Celeste. So two things I've been thinking of as you were talking about the technological bullying. It's really capitalist bullying, and the merchants are as bullied as the customers. I mean, the merchants are forced by the system to keep moving into this more high-tech electronic online stuff by the capitalist economy. So they're as much a victim as the customers are. The other piece of it is there's a Scots economic historian. His first name is Niall, N-I-A-L-L. I think his last name may be Ferguson, but I'm not sure of that. But he's written about how capitalism has gone through these periodic crises, particularly the 20th century, where the flow of currency, or the flow of, you know, economic markers has become restricted. And each time capitalism has come up with new ways to increase the flow. The credit card system, for example, was a way when there weren't enough dollars floating around, they created credits, and now the credits have become electronic, et cetera. So this technological bullying is also a way for capitalism to keep the circulation of its economic units, to keep expanding the number of economic units and to keep them moving around. And finally, you know, it's kind of funny, but 200 years ago, when the population wasn't dense enough and most people didn't live in cities, we all kind of bought online. We bought from catalogs, like the Sears Roebuck catalog. And some things came through the mail very slowly, not at, you know, current rates. So I guess any particular form, whether it's shops or catalogs or Amazon online, they're just, you know, ways in which capitalism keeps trying to keep currency units circulating and keeps trying to expand the pool of currency. And like I said, online shopping is not all that different than catalog shopping was when people lived on the plains in Nebraska and bought from Sears Roebuck.
Well, you bring up a valid point, and that is, if we want to have any kind of mercantile, you know, participation, we have to flow accordingly, and that merchants are as much at mercy as you know, the consumer. And I know when I shop at small businesses, I do use plastic, and I use cash. I try to pay with cash when I'm at small businesses so they don't have to pay for that extra fee. You know, and maybe it matters to them, maybe it doesn't.
Well, I prefer to use cash myself too, in which case I barely ever need receipts because the holes in my pocket are my receipts, and when there's no money left in my pocket, I stop buying things. So it is an economic strategy, you know, as well as a help the merchant strategy. But again, you know, this is about, you know, this whole huge humongous system. I mean, we can, you know, point at Amazon or, you know, point at MasterCard or somebody and say they're the villains. But they're not the villains. They're instruments of this capitalist system. And obviously most of us who listen to KBOO have an opinion about whether that's a, you know, a helpful system or not. But it is just a system, and damning, you know, the mechanisms of the system rather than talking about the system and why it does what it does is not very useful, I think.
Well, I agree, you know, and that's why when I heard, I think it might have been Allison who said she was a hybrid, you know, I appreciate that because, you know, the thing about these systems is that we got to remember it's what we make with them. Some of them are value neutral.
Exactly. There's a historian called E.P. Thompson, who wrote a book about the rise of the working class. It's just an absolute classic. book, and he talks about literacy and about how the ruling class introduced literacy because they wanted the workers to read the Bible and keep their noses clean and be reverent and obedient and all kinds of other things. Tom Paine's father was a Methodist minister who taught literacy for exactly those biblical values that the ruling class wanted. But Tom Paine wrote The Rights of Man once he learned how to read and write. So the implements are out there to be used, you know, for preserving the status quo or for revolting against it. And the internet's like that too. I mean, I spent the last 12 years of my employed career as an internet-based researcher researching and fighting against the tobacco industry. And I think I've made some pretty substantial, helped to make pretty substantial changes using that internet-based research. For example, the government of Norway withdrew all of its investments in the investments of Carlos Slim, the Mexican multi-billionaire, because all of his industries are based on the tobacco industry. And we were able to do that by doing internet research on Slim that apparently convinced the Norwegian government not to own his shares. So the internet can be a source of revolution.
Well, that's something to recall. And I want to also suggest that people take a visit to something. Now, we talk badly about capitalism, and many people believe there is no good form of capitalism. But it's really important for us to recognize not everybody feels that way, because there are a lot of other countries that are finding ways to adjust how they view, how they interact with capitalism. There's an organization called Conscious Capitalism. And I first found out about it by watching this immigrant woman's YouTube channel. And she talks about how many people from other countries that come here do believe in aspects of it. Now, the interesting thing is when you go to Conscious Capitalism, website, and it's one word, consciouscapitalism.org, right now, and all of their upcoming events, I see all these white people, which is interesting, because a lot of times when you see their ads, it's people of color. And I often wonder, is that the face they put on it, you know, so that it looks more attractive, or are they just having different avenues of showcasing who they are? But along with the book that you mentioned, you know, take a look and bring these people, hold them accountable if you find that you agree or disagree with what they say. But by all means, exchange ideas. It is 8:56. We only have maybe 1 or 2 minutes. Do we have any more callers, Ty, or is that it?
Yes, we do. David.
Okay, good morning, David. We got you on briefly. Hello?
I am glad to hear a fan of Thomas Paine. I just wanted to correct him. Paine didn't like to go by Tom Paine. He'd like to go by Thomas. But in the issue of money... is not supposed to be, money is supposed to be a stable thing. You know, the reputation of the nation is supposed to be a stable thing. And when you start looking at these money speculators, apparently the idea of currency speculators has been around for a couple of centuries, probably longer than that, because if you read, you know, Merchant of Venice, Shakespeare, you know, it's been an issue for a long time. But the idea of inflation tied with speculators who, in World War One, there were people that would praise a country for a while, and then they'd curse the country, praise it, curse it, in order to bounce the currency. And by doing that, they ruined the stability of the nation. And the currency speculators would make a few bucks in, you know, by selling, you know, pounds versus francs or something like that. But in the long run, it would ruin agriculture. It would ruin the stability of whole nations. And so now when we're looking at people like Bitcoin or some of these others that are only getting involved in Bitcoin so that they could cash in on the rise of it, they're actually bringing down the whole nation, or they're bringing down the whole world. You know, money is supposed to be a stable thing. It's not supposed to be a speculative thing. I guess that wraps that up.
All righty. Well, thank you for your call and those last words.
Thanks.
You know that, you are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO, and we hope that conversation as a currency is a stable thing for you. And we want to thank everybody for calling in, and especially, you know, working with us through these tech difficulties. But remember, tech, like money, is a tool, and a tool is supposed to facilitate communication and community. So, you know, choose your tools wisely, use them wisely, but most importantly, keep them sharp and support them. And we hope you'll do the same with the tool that is called KBOO Portland. Thank you for participating in More Talk Radio. I am Celeste.
And I am Cecil.
And we hope that you have a wonderful sunshiny Monday. Stay tuned for the OMO Variety Hour and more here on KBOO Portland. Goodbye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m. It's time for the Old Mo Variety Hour.
Apply by March 15th. KBOO is an affirmative action and equal opportunity.
You're listening to KBOO.